Now, in many places in ancient Egypt, they began to worship the crocodile. Why? Because he ate the part that could procreate. If the crocodile had enough power, they reasoned, to do that and take the procreative power away from God Osiris, then even the crocodile should be worshipped. And there's parts of Egypt today, you can go into cities of Egypt today, and they are still worshipping the crocodile. This is a picture of the crocodile god that they worship. Now, this is one of the things that Jane and I were talking about, because she had a dream about this year, and in the dream, on a golf course, bottom line is, a crocodile was in it. And I agree with her interpretation of the dream, and I sent her this, and I said, I believe, because of the timing that we talked about at the beginning, that the Lord is also exposing the foundations of Freemasonry for us to be able to set regions free in this year. And so I believe this is the year that it begins. But that's their crocodile god that they worshipped. So this is the foundation and the worship of Freemasonry. Isis, Osiris, Horus, the crocodile god. So let's switch streams for a minute and look at something else. I'm going to look at the name of Pharaoh, but we're going to look at it a little bit different. You can get a chronological study Bible from Thomas Nelson Company. And if you look in that Bible under the passage for 1 Kings 14, verses 25 through 28, which I'll read to you, this is the first king that took the name Pharaoh. Okay? The passage of 1 Kings 14, 25 to 28 says, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, Jeroboam's brother-in-law, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house. He took away all, including all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. King Rehoboam made in their stead bronze shields and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guards bore them and brought them back to the guard room. So King Shishak is the first king of Egypt who actually changed his name to Pharaoh. Now, in the chronological study Bible, there's a whole bunch of footnotes and narratives. Here's the footnote on this passage. Although the term Pharaoh is well known from Scripture, it was not the most common designation used by Egyptians for monarchs before the New Kingdom. In fact, it was not even used to refer to the Egyptian king until later in Egypt's history. The Egyptian term for Pharaoh means literally the great house. Originally, it was designated part of a large palatial complex at Memphis, one of the early capitals of Egypt in the 3rd millennium BC. Soon after, it denoted the Egyptian government itself. So before it became the name of a king, Pharaoh meant the governmental structure of the nation. The king and his administration, not just the buildings from which they governed. The process by which the king of Egypt became known as Pharaoh was gradual, involving various stages. In the first stage, sometime before Thutmose III, and this is a picture of Thutmose III, the title occasionally applied to Egypt's monarch. A more advanced stage occurred at the end of the New Kingdom period, 1069 BC, when the use of Pharaoh referring to the king moved from everyday speech to the official language of the country. We sort of do that here in the States. It takes a while for something to become part of the language. From the time of King Shishak, Pharaoh was added to the king's official title. The biblical writer uses the term as a common way of referring to the Egyptian king. God had delivered his people from bondages under Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This use reveals a knowledge of Egypt in the late 2nd and early 1st millennial BC. The title Pharaoh highlights Israel's traumatic experience with Egypt's king. the monarch of Egypt was considered the divine reincarnation of Horus, who's also known as the falcon god, as well as the son of Ra, the sun god. Since Pharaoh was considered a god, the contest was between gods, the incarnate god of Egypt, and against the god of Israel who spoke through Moses. We're in that same battle today. All spiritual worship, all spiritual warfare is about who you're going to worship. Are you going to worship the one true God or a no God? The power conflict that they experienced, Israel against Egypt, is the same one we're going to experience when we stand against Freemasonry. It's the same no gods. It was the same no gods that Elijah faced on Mount Carmel. Remember, they couldn't get their God to wake up? It's the same power confrontation that we're going to be in. When Moses was going in and contending with the Pharaoh for the children of Israel, and Pharaoh had the sorcerers come in and do their magic, Moses was literally contending against the ancient mystery religions of Freemasonry. Do you know when they couldn't do their magic anymore? When it came to creation. When dust became gnats. Remember that? The fourth plague? The enemy can't counterfeit. It's sort of like the picture of Osiris without his part. The enemy can't counterfeit the bringing of life from nothing. Only God can do that. When we see the pyramids of Giza, it was the enslaved children of Israel who were forced to build those phallic symbols to the worship of Osiris. So, remember, they crossed the Red Sea, and they get out into the desert and put aside the fact that they're just like you and me, and they grumble and complain. And Moses is having this divine encounter with God on the mountain. What did they do? They threw all of their objects of gold into the fire, and poof, out came an idol. You know why God was so angry with them? Because it wasn't just an act of idolatry. It was because they were lining up once again with the ancient Freemason mystery religions of Egypt. That is the Apis bull. That's a symbol of Freemasonry. That is what is worshipped in Egypt. So, is Freemasonry in the Word of God? Let me ask you this. Is the word Trinity in the Word of God? No. No. And neither is the word or words Freemasonry. But is Freemasonry in the Word of God? Yes. When you look back at the roots, you will find that the same worship structure that they worship today was what was being worshipped then. And the Lord was so angry because what he had just set them free from and judged the 10 no gods that Egypt worshipped as part of their religious structure, they went right back to as soon as they didn't think God was with them anymore. Don't have time to go there, but it's quite the picture. They were actually worshiping the same gods of Osiris and Isis that the ancient Egyptians worshiped, that he had just set them free from. The bull is a symbol of Baal. The Apis bull is also known as Serapis, and that is the same thing as Osiris. His other name is the King of Heaven. So, Isis is the queen of heaven, Osiris is the king of heaven. This bull represents Baal or Osiris in the form of Serapis. So, King Shishak, the passage we just read, literally went into Jerusalem, ransacked it and all the cities that were around Jerusalem, and he stole all the wealth and resources and took them back to Egypt. Do you remember what they left Egypt with? They plundered Egypt. And now it's all gone back. Why? because they went back into idolatrous worship. And you can see that all through as you read what was there. That is a clear pattern for us to avoid. That's what we're going to get to today. This is really the beginning of what we call the modern day banking system, by the way. What Shishak did was the beginning of what we now know as the modern day banking system. We'll talk briefly about that later. Shishak's burial site is about 5 hours from Cairo. So you take a 5-hour jeep drive out, you can get to his burial site. And it's been excavated, and it is literally a graveyard of obelisks. Obelisk after obelisk after obelisk. And we know today that those are Freemason symbols. So the king that ransacked Israel, the Pharaoh that ransacked Israel, took everything back and built obelisks to his worship. When, with King Shishak and the name changed of the king to Pharaoh, this is when Freemasonry and these ancient mystery religions literally became integrated into the culture of Egypt. So it took many centuries to get to where they were then. So it was less than 70 jubilees ago, because they're already in the Promised Land. When archaeologists came over from Britain to Egypt, they learned about these ancient mystery religions. And they took these ancient mystery religions back to London. So now we're going to start to transition to more modern history. On June 24th, 1717, on the Feast of St. John, which is held sacred by the Knights of Templar, which will become important in a minute. It's also a high satanic holiday, the Feast of St. John. A meeting was held at the Goose and Gridiron Tavern in London. The Goose and Gridiron Tavern is still there. And it was determined at that meeting on June 24, 1717, that Freemasonry would be a secret society to take throughout the world. Notice our currency isn't here yet. They had gone into Egypt, looked at the excavations, went into the archaeological digs, and they learned about these ancient mystery religions, and they took those religions back to Egypt, and on a high satanic holiday, created a fraternal organization to perpetuate their religion throughout the world. They've done a good job. There's two patron saints, two of the patron saints of Freemasonry are Saint John the Baptist. Boy, I sure hope I spelled that right in your notes. And Saint John the Evangelist. They hold a feast once a year on the dates of their birth. These are also high satanic holidays. Do you know that Good Friday and Halloween are satanic holidays? It's all tied back into this stuff. Good Friday is the highest satanic holiday. It's the day they think they won. Rick, can you cue up that video? I'll explain this after we watch it, but watch this video. It's about a minute and a half long. This is our nation's capital. Can you freeze it when it moves into the star? So this is Washington, D.C., if you can leave it at that place. Our nation's capital was literally finished by the French architect Lafont. He was a Mason from France. Our nation's capital was designed and dedicated to Freemasonry. There were many other Masons that worked on it, but LaFont was the one that finished it. The entire 10-mile square, interesting that it is a square, of Washington, D.C. is built upon the tenets of Freemasonry. Before the Masons had that 10-mile square of Washington, D.C., it was owned by the Jesuits. And they called it Little Rome. They came in with their Jesuit agenda. They do not worship Jesus Christ, by the way. Only in public. They dedicated the 10-mile square of land to the Queen of Heaven, Isis. So the land is defiled, and now another group comes in, the Freemasons, on defiled land. We'll talk about that briefly in a minute. They bought the land, and they began to build on it, and this is how our nation's capital was designed and built. Every one of those points is a key point on their ley lines. There are all kinds of spiritual activities taking place by the saints of the Most High God to redeem this. Can't go into details on that. Here's how the enemy works. If the land is defiled by something, if I sin, there's five main sins that will defile land. Adultery, immorality, well, covenant breaking and immorality, two separate sins. Idolatry, shedding of innocent blood, and robbing God of tithes and offerings, dishonoring God. Those five sins defile the land. If I do something in sin, it not only affects me, but if it's one of those, it defiles the land. Now, with that land defiled, the enemy can create a ley line to that and make it a PowerPoint, a portal for darkness to come. If that land is defiled by a second thing, like Freemasonry, idolatry, so someone has a broken covenant or someone murders someone in the shedding of innocent blood, now it's doubly defiled. You know why the Dalai Lama likes New York so much? Because it's doubly defiled, and he's trying to come and make a threefold cord of darkness. You see how the enemy works? They bought land that had been dedicated to the Queen of Heaven because they know the principles that we should know to war against. But we have the blood of Christ that breaks any demonic threefold cord. But we have to do the work to do that. So that's what this is all about. It's not just about someone entering into a secret fraternal organization. By the way, I personally am against all sororities and fraternities for that same reason, because their root is back to this. Don't have time to go into there. So I had to repent of my involvement in certain things because they're all back to there. Anything that's done in secret, remember, this is the year of Olam, concealed, eternal and everlasting. Those things that have been concealed, he's going to reveal so that he can connect what he wants us to do and what he wants to set us free from. What he wants us to connect to in the past is what he wrote about us in our book. Not our sins, not our failings, but the promises he created us to walk in. Those are still available for us. So, that's how our nation's capital was designed and laid out. Have no fear, so was Rochester, so were most of our towns. They were all laid out by Masons. But God has now got this root exposed so that we can begin to deal with those things. Does he love men that are trapped in homosexuality? Does he love people that are caught in adultery? Does he love men and women that are bound in cults? So, the love of God casts out all fear, and that's our motivation to minister. Not to hate the sinner, but to understand where the root is so that we can help them get set free. So, thank you. I'm not going to go into all of them, but one of the secret names of God, little g, the no God in Freemasonry, is Jabulon. As I said earlier, when you do a Masonic pledge and when you are going through the ranks of Freemasonry, it used to be in the 50s and 60s, they would look for good churchmen Christian men. And when you go through this, they would have you put your hand on the Bible and renounce all your covenants. And then start as you went up. You didn't realize it until you were further along, that you were literally swearing allegiance to Lucifer. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But then they started, and that was in the U.S. But at the same time, if you were a Muslim or you were an Islamic worshiper, they would let you bring in the Quran. They're literally saying, you can put your hand on any book, it's subservient to ours. And you are literally saying that Jesus Christ comes under any allegiance that you have to the gods of Freemasonry. So the first name is Jabulon. And when you look at some of the things, the rites that we're going to renounce, you're going to have to try to pronounce some of their ancient mystic religion gods or no gods. Paul calls them no gods. I like to call them no gods because they ain't no god. Yah is Yahweh. So the first one that they counterfeited is the first part of the name of their no god, Jabulon. Bull is Baal. And An is another spelling of Osiris. They're saying that all of these are one. So where do we get this false teaching that Allah and Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, and the Ancient of Days are the same God? It comes out of this lie. Allah is not the God of heaven and earth. He is a no God that was worshipped by a group of people in the Middle East. And all over the world, if you're a Freemason. That's literally who they're worshiping. Not only do they counterfeit, but they take enough of truth, Yahweh, the name of the Hebrew God, the name of our God, and they combine it with others so that it's easier to swallow. Spoons full of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? And so, oh, I'm just saying Yah. No, you're saying Yabulon. You're saying that Yah is inferior to Baal, who's inferior to Isis. There are 33 degrees in Freemasonry. But few Freemasons will tell you that there's a higher level than the 33rd degree Mason. Most Freemasons are not enlightened to know that there's something higher. It's out there. You can find it now. Enough Masons have come out. At the higher level, there are only 33 members. There's one in the U.S. There's one in 32 other nations. At this higher level, there's only 33 people with this level of enlightenment. We're going to get into that probably after the break. These 33 people are known as the Illuminati. We'll define that for you after the break. Listen to what Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma, page 102, teaches about Satan. This is, in his day, the highest Mason in the United States of America teaching about Satan. He is not a person, but a force. He uses a capital F. Created for good, but which many serve for evil. Now he calls Satan an it. It is the instrument of liberty or free will. They represent this force which presides over the physical generation, such as sex, under the mythological and horned form of the god Pan. Thence he came the he-goat Sabbat, which means witch's festival. He is the brother of the ancient serpent and the light-bearer or phosphor, of which poets have made the false Lucifer of legend. This is their leader teaching about who Satan is. Albert Pike is also quoted as giving this instruction to a council of very high-level Freemasons in his day. The Masonic religion, say what? The leader called it a religion. Oh, by the way, about 15 years ago, the federal court in Boston made Wicca a federally approved religion eligible for 501c3 status, which means Satanism can be, because there's one branch of Wicca that is extreme Satanism, like you're going to hear about after the break here. But God, he's not been surprised. That was only about 10 minutes ago for God. And he's got you ready to undo this all. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degree, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, and he misspelled it, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, which means deliberate breach of faith and trust. So he's saying God is cruel and breaches faith. And hatred of man, so he says God hates us. Barbarism and repulsion of science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God. And unfortunately, Adonai is also little g, God. For the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness, no white without black, for the absolute can only exist as two gods, darkness being necessary for light to serve as its foil, as the pedestal is necessary for the state. Thus, the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophical religion is belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. This is the writings of the leading Freemason teaching leaders in Freemasonry. Do you see the root? Oh, by the way, this is what Mormonism is all about. Don't have time to go there, but their religion started in Palmyra, New York, based on the tenets of Freemasonry, which is one of the several reasons that Joseph Smith was chased out of the area, because he stole something that was supposed to be secret. It's interesting when you start researching all of this. Albert Pike was one of the key leaders of Freemasonry in the United States, and he's buried in the temple in our Washington, D.C. They have a Freemason temple, and he's buried there. Guess who they worship? He's worshipped and admired by Freemasons. Yes, this is the same Pike whose family Pike's Peak is named after, and by his own admission, Pike, Albert Pike, was a worshiper of Satan. Consequently, Colorado is called the crown jewel of Freemasonry. That's where Albert Pike lived. They have lots of activities going on there to undo the things that have been done over their state. We're going to do these two things and then we'll break a little bit early. So there's 33 degrees in Freemasonry. 33 is considered the high occult number. Why do you think this is? Trinity. Who walked the earth for 33 years? Do you see where they're counterfeiting? Do you know how long 24/7 worship took place on Mount Moriah? That's where the temple is. 33 years. David had 33 years, which was the forerunner for Christ walking the earth himself. And so they've counterfeited that with these 33 degrees. We'll look at that after the break. So once again, this is a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. The enemy does everything by a counterfeit. We won't go into it, but we said perfect love casts out all fear. Fear is the counterfeit of love. Heaviness is the counterfeit of joy. The things of the satanic kingdom are counterfeits of the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've taught on that before. So there's a degree that's over and above the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. Why don't we do that before the break? If you go to the back of your notes, at the end of the next session, we'll talk about the spirits that are prevalent wherever Freemasonry is prevalent. But the degree that's over all of it, you should have a spreadsheet that looks like a tree of Freemasonry with Illuminati at the top. It should be the very, very back. It looks like this. Can I borrow yours?
Yeah.
I forgot to. I gave my original to make copies. So in this, you'll see that we're going to talk about all of these. We're going to break. We're going to renounce. We're going to do all of that later on each of these. But the Blue Lodge is the lowest. It's the first, second, and third degree. And then you can branch into the Scottish Rite or the York Rite of Freemasonry. And you can go up the ladder. But when you get to the 33rd degree of the Grand Sovereign Inspector General, this is the structure in the United States. This is American Freemasonry. At the top of this, and this is what even most Freemasons in these lower levels don't recognize, the ones up here do, is the Illuminati, those 33 people. So if you think there's conspiracy theories, there probably are, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But there is an organization that has been working since 1717 to make their religion, the worship of Lucifer, the one world order. See what that's all about? And it's being directed. It's being played out. Now, did Pharaoh win against Moses? Will he win against us? No, because Jesus has already defeated all of them, and he gave us the blood of the cross as our weapon to fight all of this. So, you may be able to see where some of your friends or relatives came from. Each of them has artifacts. Each of them has different pledges and vows that they take. We're going to renounce those vows. And some of them, they literally drink blood. They defile the communion. They urinate in a communion cup, and they it's gross. This is what they do. They will blind someone, put a hoodwink over them. You know how they used to hang someone with a hood over them? And then they will beat them. They will literally, what they are saying, they will literally demonically, prophetically act it out on the body. They will make them lay down in a coffin. Sometimes they literally kill a person. This is not a surprise. Every satanic holiday, including every full moon, Satan worshipers, which includes the higher level of Freemasons, have to commit blood sacrifices to their no god. He is a demanding god. If you want to see that in the Bible, just go back to Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah at Mount Carmel. They were bloodletting people. Do you know Ramadan, when you see on the news the people cutting themselves with stones, you know where cutting is tied in? It's tied in right back here. It's a bloodletting that they can get more right with their no god if they sacrifice their own blood to their no god. Do you begin to see where the roots of these things are? Why don't we take a 20-minute break? There's refreshments in the fellowship hall. And I'll start with 10 minutes of questions when we get back.